the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program.
Hello, Bitcoiners, and welcome to another episode where we do a wrap-up on Bitcoin miners and Bitcoin-related equities, all in a show that we're hopefully going to get out the door in about 10 minutes on average, probably not going to be the case, given how much I do want to talk about today. And I hope everybody had a wonderful long weekend, be it if it was Canada Day, if that's what you were celebrating, or as Joey called it, America Day, July 4th, so happy July 4th too, or the belated July 4th to our American friends as well. So hope you all had a wonderful long weekend, enjoyed the good weather, spent some time with family and friends, and just truly enjoyed it, because there's not too many opportunities to enjoy things the way the market is turning. But anyways, that's a topic for another time. And before we go any further, just want to ask if you could please like, subscribe, and share. If you could do all three of those things, it would help us out tremendously. And let's just transition over to our sponsors. And our first sponsor is ShakePay. There it is. So it's the best place to buy and, of course, never sell your Bitcoin. And sign up with our referral code below. Fund your account with $100. Buy $100 of Bitcoin or the competing token that they have on their platform, and $30 will be added to your account. So simply buy $100 of Bitcoin or whatever else they have on their exchange, and $30 will be added to your ShakePay account. Not only that, you could also shake your phone once a day, and by doing so, you'll be given Satoshis. It's a faucet. Not many of these do exist. Do it for 365 consecutive days, and the amount of Satoshis that will be awarded to you will be 1,000 per day. So it makes sense to, once a day, open up your phone, shake your phone, only your phone, and you're good to go, because you're going to get some free Satoshis added to your account. You also have the ShakePay Visa card. So with that, you could use that to buy your everyday purchases, gas, groceries, whatever, and 1% will be returned back to you in Bitcoin. And furthermore, there's a ShakePay promotion. So whatever it is you buy, the whole thing could be comped to you in Bitcoin. So if you're spending a couple $100 filling up your car, the whole thing could be returned back to you in Bitcoin. So it's really cool, really good opportunity to get some more Bitcoin simply by using your ShakePay Visa card. And the last thing they have is the Shake Squad. Sign up with four other friends, find them on internet, wherever, just make a squad with four other people. And anytime anybody makes a purchase with the ShakePay Visa card within the squad, everybody else is going to be rewarded with 42 Satoshis for every time the card is used. So makes sense to team up to find a very active squad that uses their ShakePay Visa card, because you're going to be rewarded handsomely with a lot of extra Satoshis just because people are using their ShakePay Visa card. So sign up to ShakePay. We like it. We recommend buying Bitcoin through them, and we use it all the time. And what are you going to do with the Bitcoin you bought from ShakePay? Well, our second sponsor is there to help you out, which is Ledin. So why not dump your Bitcoin on their platform, earn some interest? And by doing so, you'll collect more and more Satoshis. So create an account using our referral code below, put 150,000 Satoshis on their platform or 75 USDC for 15 consecutive days, and you'll be rewarded with 10 USDC. Also, if you need some money in a pinch and you don't want to sell your Bitcoin stash, simply borrow against it. Ledin's there to help you out with a 50% loan to value. And you could use that money to buy new car, maybe not, given the price of cars, gasoline, potentially, groceries, yeah. So there's lots of options you could do with simply borrowing against your Bitcoin. Also, if you think the price of Bitcoin is going up, because it should be, shouldn't it? You could use the B2X option that Ledin provides, where you could double up your Bitcoin stack. And once the price of Bitcoin goes up high enough, pull out, always pull out, don't leave it in, and you're good to go. You're going to have more Bitcoin in your stash as a result for Ledin's B2X option. And the last thing they do have is the Bitcoin-backed mortgages, industry first. Check out their website where you could get the Bitcoin-backed mortgages. It's not available in all jurisdictions, but also check out their website for the savings rate and the borrowing rates, because these change on a month-to-month basis. All right, so now with the formalities out of the way, let's get hashing. And a lot of green today, a lot of green, very little red. So let's take a peek who are the big winners. Cathedra Bitcoin, a little bit over 21% on a day. Cypher Mining, 15% up. Hive, 13% up. Liquid, 13%. Core Scientific, 13%. Coinbase, our whipping boy, almost up 13% today. iMining, 12.5% up. And HUT, 12%. Riot, 11%. CryptoStar, 11%. Bitfarms, a little bit over 10%. And BTBT, be very careful with BTBT, but still they're up 10%. So a lot of companies up double-digit gains on today. So many gains that could be had. Absolutely wonderful. Just wanted to note that, where is it? Mawson is on the other end of the spectrum. Oh, you know what? I've said it so many times. They're either near the very top or near the very bottom. And today, near the very bottom. And so there were a few companies that were negative on a day. So there are three ones I want to pay particular attention to. Aquarius AI, 30% down on a day. What happened? I do not know, but it's a thinly traded stock. So keep that in mind. Cypher Metaverse, 12.5% down. CEIA, that's the company that is into everything else but Bitcoin mining. And CoinSmart down a little bit over 10%. So there are some losers on a day. Not much news as to why it went down. In fact, WonderFi, there was some news today, or actually came yesterday, for the closure of the acquisition of a company. We'll be talking about this in just a little bit. So yeah, so all in all, look, Voyager, 0% on a day. They were up quite a bit at one point. Imagine that, Voyager. We'll be talking about them soon on the show. So yeah, it's just interesting to see how much green. Let's take it, because we haven't had this much green in a while. It's second trading day of the week. Let's see if we carry this on to the rest of the week and just take it to the promised land. We need more green days like this. No more red. We need more green. So everybody, lift up your. Let's pull up your socks. Let's do it. Let's take it for the team. Deploy capital. Let's drive this sucker up. All right. So leading things off, I have a story about WonderFi, and it's a couple of days old. This story published yesterday, but I think this news came out last week. Nonetheless, it has to do with the closing of the Coinberry acquisition. And this has been in the works for some time, and it just needed to be finalized, which it has done so. So no longer is this pending. It's now been finalized, and Coinberry is now under the umbrella of WonderFi. And what they now do, they have absorbed about 225,000 users from Coinberry and about $99.5 million of the client's assets under custody. That's as of March 31st, 2022. Is this really a good move? Is all 225,000 going to be new users? I suspect probably not, because WonderFi also bought BitBuy not too long ago. And I would imagine there's some overlap in terms of the users between Coinberry and BitBuy. So there's going to be some overlap in there. So I would suspect the majority are probably new clients that's going to be absorbed under the WonderFi umbrella, but unfortunately, not all of them will be, because there's, as I mentioned, some overlap between the BitBuy purchase and Coinberry. But nonetheless, it's good to see that this acquisition has been finalized. And as recently we had WonderFi listed on the TSX. So there's been a lot of movement on the WonderFi front. They seem to be adapting and progressing and growing much larger. How much longer before we see them listed on the NASDAQ? It's going to be, I don't know, it's going to be coming up soon. Won't it be? But in order to do so, they're going to need a reverse split. So something to consider. What's going to happen moving forward with WonderFi? Reverse split coming? I suspect so, because I think they do want to get listed on NASDAQ, but in order to do so, they have to meet the minimum price obligations. So that's my guess. There's going to be a reverse split announcement coming up within the next 6 months, maybe a little bit longer, and that is going to be the prelude for them to be listed on the NASDAQ. So that's the next big news I'm suspecting we're going to hear from WonderFi, maybe potentially another acquisition. You know what, now I think about it further, there's going to be more acquisitions just because the market is so depressed right now, and there's a lot of good buying opportunities for companies that do have capital, and WonderFi does have the ability to raise capital a little bit easier than this privately owned company. They could simply worst case scenario, they could dilute shares and raise capital that way. Wouldn't be all that pretty. Shareholders wouldn't like that, but it's an option that they do have available to them. So maybe there'll be some more consolidation in the Canadian space for in terms of exchanges coming under the umbrella of WonderFi, but also there may be some US exchanges that could be for sale and could come under the WonderFi umbrella and that could give them an expansion into US markets. So that's something also to consider. But those are probably going to be the two things. You're going to see more acquisitions in terms of exchanges, and also you're going to see them do a reverse split in order to get on the NASDAQ. I don't see them buying any Bitcoin miners. I don't see that being something on their radar, but they could surprise me. We'll see what happens though. So yeah, that's it for WonderFi. All right, keep things moving along. Bitfarms, good update. I want to talk about it. It's a 2022 June update about how much they mined and their operational update as well. Some of this has already been touched upon in previous updates that I talk about, including they sold off some of their Bitcoin to pay off some of the debt. So I'm not going to rehash that. I'm just going to touch on the more important thing. So they have their location they nicknamed The Bunker, really cool name. It's nearing completion of phase two, and this is going to give them an extra 36 megawatts of power. And they're estimating that's going to give them 913 petahash per second in total. And they note that 913 petahash per second, that's simply coming from this area that they nicknamed The Bunker. It's the total hash rate that Bitfarms had back at the end of 2020. That just goes to show you how much they've progressed in terms of their overall hash rate. And what is their overall hash rate? Well, at the end of June 2022 is 3.6 exahash per second. And that netted them around 14.6 Bitcoin per day, which is a significant amount. More good thing is they are on plans. They have plans and they are on, they're doing what they can to exceed their Q2 2022 target of 4 exahash per second, and they're going to most likely exceed that within the next few weeks. That is awesome news, and the fact that the overall hashing rate for the network of Bitcoin is somewhere between 222 and as low as 212, they're moving up far faster than the network rate is increasing. That's going to give them more opportunity to mine Bitcoin in comparison to their peers. They also completed a 50 megawatt warehouse in Argentina. Now that's interesting because they're getting very cheap energy from Argentina. But remember what happened with the IMF and the their central bank over there when they bailed them out. They said that none of the banks over there could be offering Bitcoin to their customers. I'm wondering what's going to happen the next time Argentina will need a bailout. Should they then do the same thing with, should they further expand on that and ask them or force them to not have Bitcoin miners set up shop in their within their borders? It's possibility. So keep your ears open for what's happening with the IMF and Argentina, because that's something that could really impact Bitfarms' ability to mine Bitcoin within the borders of Argentina. It isn't, they don't have a lot over there, but they do have some, and they plan to continually grow out. But let's just talk about the rest of the good news. They mined 420 Bitcoin for the month of June. I believe that is a record for Bitfarms, which is fantastic. And they right now have 3,144 Bitcoin in custody as of June 30th. And that's obviously been reduced because they sold off quite a bit of their Bitcoin to meet their debt obligations. All in all, it is rather good. Their network is continuing to grow. Their hash rate is growing. They're plugging in more miners. They're dealing with the debt. They're doing everything they can to keep themselves from getting liquidated. I like this. How much longer could they stand or withstand this in terms of the bear market? Because you know it's sitting around 20,000. Can they sustain this for a very long time? Potentially, because I believe their mining rate is around 8,500 USD per Bitcoin. That's how much it costs them in terms of electricity and just everything else to mine one Bitcoin. So the price of Bitcoin can still come down, but they're levered up against, they have some debt and it's leveraged debt against, they levered against their Bitcoin, which is what it is. That hopefully it doesn't go too far down in terms of price, because it will negatively impact Bitfarms even further. So that's the report from June 2022. Very good update. They're going to move on up. Once they surpass 4 exahash per second, then they're getting into the next tier. They're never going to reach Core Scientific unless Core gets broken up, but we'll be talking about Core momentarily. So that's it for Bitfarms, and we'll just keep moving on. So let's keep moving on. I want to talk about the new whipping boy on the block, which is Voyager Digital. Coinbase is still the whipping boy, but let's just add to their ilk here with throwing Voyager Digital into their mix. And just last week, I know relatively old news, maybe it's relatively recent, whatever you want to, however we want to spin this, but I haven't reported it yet here. We talked about it more in depth in our flagship episode that we recorded yesterday, but still I want to talk about it a little bit more in depth here. They suspended their trading, deposits, withdrawal, and rewards. So if you have anything on the platform over there, you are screwed. You've just been rug pulled. And why did this happen? Well, Three Arrows Capital, they decided they're not going to pay the loan. And so they defaulted on a loan to Voyager Digital. So Three Arrows, they owed about $650 million to Voyager Digital. More than half of it was USDC. And the remainder was around 15,000-ish BTC. And it's so they basically gave Voyager Digital the middle finger and told them to go to heck. And so Voyager Digital is left holding the bag, and now their customers are left holding the bag. Oh yeah, that's quite a story that's going on here. So I've been talking about for quite some time that Voyager Digital is not looking all that pretty in terms of longevity. How well could they withstand a bear market? And this is not just a bear market problem. This is bear market. Now you're just throwing on more and more garbage on it. And it's a default of $650 million that they are now going to have to figure out to find to get that money somewhere else. But who's the ultimate losers here? Well, it's the people that have money on their platform, the people looking for DeFi rewards, also investors, people that are invested in Voyager Digital. I hope you are not holding the bag here, because it has gone down a heck of a lot in terms of the price, and it probably will go down more. They have only a few options available to them. Since they closed all trading and everything to their customers, they're not going to be able to earn any money. So what are the options they have? Well, they could, somebody could bail them out, so probably some unfavorable terms, but that's one of the options. Somebody could buy them out. Again, that would be the unfavorable terms, but again, that's probably an option that's available. So somebody may decide just to scoop up a whole bunch of shares and take majority control of this thing. Or the last thing is they could just declare bankruptcy. You know, that's certainly an option here. If they're not open, if they're not having users trade or withdraw anything, they're not earning any money. So if they're not earning any money, how could they stay in business? So I would be very concerned if I was a Voyager investor. What's going to make this thing pop in terms of price? If somebody comes in, maybe SBF, and just buys them out and absorbs them under the FTX platform, maybe that could help them pop in terms of price. But I wouldn't bet anything on it. I would be very concerned about putting anything on there. And if I have any money on there, you may want to just sell it. I mean, again, I know you probably went down a heck of a lot in terms of value, because the stock just took an absolute kick to the teeth in the past few months, but what else you can do? You're going to go down with the ship? Be very careful with Voyager Digital. That's why they are the new whipping boy on this show with Coinbase. It's Coinbase and Voyager. Now they're neck and neck in terms of this race. So yeah, be very careful if you're a Voyager investor, because I would be very concerned. All right, let's talk about DigiHost. We talked about them quite a bit last year, especially as they led up and ultimately were listed on a NASDAQ. So that's obviously now very old news, so because they're on a NASDAQ, but they did give us some information about their June 2022 update. So, and I could compare this to their May. So for the month of June, keep in mind, okay, these are the numbers. They mined 72.18 BTC for June in comparison to May, which was lower last month, was 70.47. So they went up in terms of how much Bitcoin they mined from last month to this month. That's what you want to see. The amount of Ethereum that they hold this month to last month is the exact same. They still hold 1,000.89 ETH on their reserves. And they started paying down some of the debt. $10 million of their debt was repaid. They were sitting on a little bit of cash, and it looks like they're going ahead and using some of the cash and anything else they could use to start paying off the debt, which is great, because the cost of carrying a debt is more costly to do so. And also something to note is their petahash has increased. Their hash rate has gone up. It's now 650 petahash per second versus last month was 450. So they went from 450 in May to 650 in June. That's a pretty good jump. That's what you want to see. So not only is the amount of Bitcoin they mine increasing, it's not just simply they're getting lucky or the hash rate is going down. It's their network is getting stronger. That's what you want to see moving forward. And lastly, they just, I mentioned that Bitfarms, their cost to mine one Bitcoin is $8,500. DigiHost is a little bit higher. The break-even point is listed at $12,000. So there you go. You can see the point in which it's going to be really problematic for DigiHost. If the price of Bitcoin gets below $12,000 US, mining Bitcoin for them is going to be at a loss. And I don't know what's going to happen. We're getting close to the $12,000 mark. I'm not saying we are going to get there, but we're getting close. There's lots of downward pressure and there's lots of things that are impacting Bitcoin for the price to go down. So keep that in mind. If these negative pressures continue and there's new forces that are brought upon it that really drive down the price an extra 50%, you know, we're then at the point where companies like DigiHost are not profitable to mine Bitcoin. And what do you do if you're not profitable? They'll be chopped up, I guess, and sold to somewhere else to figure out what to do with their operations. So hopefully the price of Bitcoin doesn't go down any further. But I do like what DigiHost is doing, that they do have, they're growing on a network. They're still rather small in the grand scheme of things, but being listed on the NASDAQ gives them, and the Toronto Stock Exchange, gives them lots of opportunity to raise capital should they need it. So that's a... So some good and bad when it comes to DigiHost. The bad, you know, the price of Bitcoin that they mine is relatively high, but the good, well, they're growing and they continue to grow. So that's what I like to see. Good on DigiHost. TerraWolf. So some really interesting news that came out of their camp today, and they adjusted an existing loan agreement and they're taking on a whole bunch of new miners that are being delivered. And so the loan agreement. So they've done an amendment and they're going to be now adding an additional $50 million of debt on the existing loan. So that's a lot of extra debt that they're taking on. And what are they going to be using with this money? They're putting it to good use by going to be completing their data center infrastructures at their Lake Mariner facility in New York and the Nautilus Cryptomine facility in Pennsylvania. The Lake Mariner facility is not, I repeat, not impacted by the proof of work ban from what I understand. The state of New York did have that new proof of work ban. And the Lake Mariner facility, from everything I read from TerraWolf, it mentions that it is not impacted by this. So I'm going to take their word as gospel. But also something else they have noted is that they have 3,000 S19 XP mining machines that are going to be coming in and they'll be hashing away not too distant future. So they essentially are doubling down. They're taking on more debt. They have more miners coming in. They're going to expand on their existing infrastructures. Is this a good move by TerraWolf? Maybe if the price of Bitcoin goes up, obviously it's a fantastic move. If the price of Bitcoin remains where it is and it stays choppy for the next little while, I can't see how this could be a good move, especially as debt becomes harder to service, as the price of servicing debt is just more and more costly to do so. So it's kind of a risky move, I think, by TerraWolf. If things don't go well with the price of Bitcoin, it's going to be hard for TerraWolf to remain in business. I can't say they're going to close shop, but it's going to make it harder for them to maintain what they're doing right now without selling off some of their equipment in order to keep the lights on. But if the price of Bitcoin rips, then they're okay. Then they're sitting pretty. So it's kind of a risky move, in my opinion, taking on additional debt given the existing climate. Good for them. They're bullish. But given the fact what's happened with the economy, the price of Bitcoin kind of, it's in correlation with the economy. As the economy goes sour, the price of Bitcoin will go along with it. As the economy is going well, the price of Bitcoin will probably go along with it. Eventually, there'll be a decoupling. But for right now, there doesn't seem to be. So TerraWolf, very, very interesting. I think it's a roll of the dice. Good for them. I hope it pans out. But if it doesn't, it's going to sting. Okay, so last story I have is about Core Scientific. This is a doozy, so let's just get right into it. It's about their June update. And let's talk about the good news, and then we'll talk about the interesting news, I guess. Okay, so the good news is their self-mined Bitcoin has increased significantly since the beginning of June. So the beginning of June, they were mining every day 34.8 Bitcoin. And by the end of June, they're mining 39.8 Bitcoin. Both of those numbers are massive because that's per day. But still, they went up 5 Bitcoin per day that they're mining in the span of 1 month. That is nuts. Core Scientific is massive. All right. They do intend to still reach their goal of 30 exahash per second of their data centers by the end of the year of 2022. So that's incredible that they plan to get up that high. In terms of the overall hash rate they have for all their data centers, granted, this is not just their self-mine, this is all the data centers, is 17.9 exahash per second. And that's 180,000 ASIC servers that are just doing their thing over there. But of that 17.9, 10.3 belongs to, is the one for Core Scientific's self-mining operations. And with that, they mined 1,106 Bitcoin for the month of June. Wow, that is a lot of Bitcoin that they mined, and it's only going to go up from there because they do plan to expand on their network. And it also mentions that their customers, that the ASIC their customer owns ASICs, are generating 7.6 exahash. So of that 17 exahash ish, 7.6 ish goes to their customers that for customer owns ASICs, and the remaining 10.3 goes to their self mining. So that's how the breakdown is. Too bad it's not all under their control, but still, they're still absolutely massive at 10 exahash per second, just humongous company. Here's the very interesting slash bad news. They sold off 7,202 Bitcoin, and they did this during the month of June, and they sold this at the price of about $23,000 per Bitcoin, and this netted them $167,000. So now they only have, and I say only, slightly less than 2,000 Bitcoin on their reserves, and that's in the number specifically is 1,959 Bitcoin. They were getting close to getting to 10,000, and they sold off a bunch, obviously, to make ends meet. Things are not very pretty if you're a Bitcoin miner, but this is unfortunately the way they're doing business. So I think their HODL mentality has changed to now sell, sell, sell mentality. They're going to mine another 1,100 plus Bitcoin for the month of July. What are they going to do with all that or majority of it? They're going to sell it, probably. And they got rid of 7,000 and change. Marathon got rid of some, and Bitfarms got rid of some. So there's a lot of Bitcoin miners are just pumping out Bitcoin that they mined onto the markets. And the price of Bitcoin, you know, it chopped a little bit, maybe went down some. But they don't have much left in the reserves to dump on the market to drive down the price of Bitcoin anymore. So that's one less potential downward pressure that exists on there. But on the flip side, Core Scientific is now, it looks like they're going to be selling the Bitcoin that they mine, at least some of it, maybe not, or even all of it. And this is one of the strategies they have to employ. It's too bad given the price of Bitcoin what it is today, but Core Scientific is carrying a lot of debt, so they just can't simply do business without selling, making some revenue somewhere, and deploying that revenue into paying off debt. This is just the nature of the beast. If they could somehow survive this bear market, I've talked about this on our flagship show, they could get chopped up depending how long this, and how, if this is a very long, and this bear market is just simply just going on forever, just very much prolonged. Core Scientific may not be able to survive it given how much debt they're carrying. But if the price of Bitcoin finally recovers, hopefully, let's hope, they could survive it, and then they'll be in a much better position. Obviously, though, that's not everybody will be in the same position. But Core Scientific, I think, is one that might be primed to be chopped up into something smaller should the price of Bitcoin remain what it is right now, or even go down further, because it's going to be very difficult for them to keep the lights on, service their debt, and continue with their business. But let's hope that the price of Bitcoin moves up, that they could weather this storm, and they'll be able to be bigger and stronger. 30 exahash per second by the end of the year, humongous. 30 exahash with a price of Bitcoin at 50,000, monstrous. So let's keep our fingers crossed. If you're a Core Scientific investor, or if you are going to be one, now may be a good time to jump in. Look at the price, it's relatively low, so it might be a good time to jump in now, NFA. But yeah, it really all depends on the price of Bitcoin, because this is one that's, it's going to be problematic going forward if it stays where it is in a 20-ish area. So let's, fingers crossed, let's give some good vibes to the price of Bitcoin. Let's hope it rips just for Core Scientific sake. And that's it. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Again, just want to note that none of the information you hear from our show, from my mouth, Joey's mouth, or any of your guest mouths, is considered financial advice. So take that with a grain of salt. Make sure you do your own research, because in the end, I'm just some guy sitting in front of a wall with a couple of three specifically, hats and a block clock. So really, what do I know? So do make sure you do your own research, do the right thing before you deploy capital, because that way you won't get wrecked. And with that, we'll be talking again tomorrow. So have a good day. Hello, Bitcoiners, and welcome to another show where we talk about Bitcoin miners and Bitcoin related equities. Today is July the 6th, 2022, another beautiful July day. I hope you are all enjoying it. We'll try to get this episode done on the average of 10 minutes, but lately we have not been able to achieve that goal. Nonetheless, we could ask if you could please like, subscribe, and share. That would help us with growing our channel. So with that being said, let's get on to our sponsors. And our first sponsor is ShakePay, of course, the best place to buy and never sell your Bitcoin. Sign up with our referral code below, and if you fund your account and buy $100 worth of Bitcoin or the competing token that they have on their platform, and you'll be given $30 will be added to your ShakePay account. Furthermore, you could then unlock the option of shaking your phone and getting free partial Bitcoin known as Satoshis. Do it for 365 consecutive days, and the number of Satoshis will be 1,000. So 1,000 per day will be given to you after you reach the 365-day mark. So it makes sense to, as soon as you wake up, open your phone, open up the ShakePay app, shake the app only in the phone, nothing else, and you're good to go. Then they also have the ShakePay Visa card. So you could use your ShakePay Visa card for everyday purchases, the gas and groceries, whatever it is. And the first 5,000 will be returned back to you at 2% in Bitcoin. And beyond that, the every purchase will be 1% returned back to you in Bitcoin. So there's a good way to increase your Bitcoin stash. And the last thing they do have is the ShakePay. Well, they do have the ShakePay promotion that, of course, with the ShakePay Visa card, the whole thing could be comped to you in Bitcoin, the whole purchase, but they also have the Shake Squads. So you and four other people could team up. Anytime anybody in the team uses the ShakePay Visa card, everybody will be rewarded with 42 Satoshis. So it makes sense to team up with people that are active with the card. And so you'll be benefiting from the fact that everybody will be using their card quite a bit, and it makes sense to use the ShakePay Visa card because everybody will be a winner. 42 Satoshis every time, 2% back for the first 5,000, then 1% beyond that. How could you go wrong? Use the ShakePay Visa card, sign up to ShakePay, use our referral code below. It works for us and we like using it. And after you buy your Bitcoin from ShakePay, what are you going to do with it? Well, our second sponsor is Ledin, and you could dump your Bitcoin stash on the Ledin network and their platform, and you could earn some interest. And so of course, sign up using our referral code below. And what will it get you? Well, if you put 150,000 Satoshis on their platform or 75 USDC and have it on their platform for a period of 15 calendar days consecutive days at that, you'll be gifted with 10 USDC. Also, if you are in need of money and you don't want to sell your Bitcoin stash, Ledin is there to help you out. You could borrow against it with a 50% loan to value. And they also have the B2X option. If the price of Bitcoin, if you believe it is going up, and it looks like it is, slowly but surely it's creeping on up, you could double up your Bitcoin stack with the B2X option. And once it reaches a high enough point, price point, you pull out, always pull out, never leave it in, and you're good to go. And you just increase your Bitcoin stash. Last thing they do have is the Bitcoin-backed mortgages. Check out their website, because the Bitcoin-backed mortgages are not available in every jurisdiction. Also, by checking their website, you can see what is the latest interest and savings rates as these change on a month-to-month basis. All right, so with the formalities out of the way, let's get hashing. And leading things off, we'll take a look to see who are the big winners and losers. A lot more losers today than there are winners. Ladies and gentlemen, what are you doing? Deploy capital into the markets. Let's rally this guy back to its all-time highs. But anyways, Aquarius AI, what a rebound today. 42.86% up. DigiHost, 8.8% up. TerraWolf, 7.2% up. And everybody's favorite, Neptune Digital, 4.76%. Luxfolia, 3.57%. DMG, 2.04%. And Cypher Mining at 0.66. That's it. That's it for the gains today. Everything else was either flat or negative. A lot of red here, as you can see here. It's just bleeding red here. But man, I look at that Aquarius AI, 42% up on a day, almost 43%. Great news by them. They turned it around a lot today in the markets, but again, it's thinly traded, so who the heck knows what's going on over there. In terms of the losses, Liquid Fintech, they just released today a screenshot of their platform. So really cool stuff, but they're down 16%. I'm still bullish on Lightning. I don't know why this is taking a beating. CryptoWorks, 15% down. iMining, they're into everything. 11.11% down. CryptoStar, 10% down. Big Digital Assets, 9.59% down. Interesting, they're down, but yet Luxfolio is up slightly. So that's, I find to be rather interesting. But yeah, let's look at the whipping boys. Coinbase, 6.57% down. Can't help but just laugh at what's going on over there. And Voyager, well, Voyager is, it's been halted today. So yeah, so you can see that it's just it's some very bad news that came out of Voyager today. So that's basically it for what's happening on the markets. Let's take a look at into the news stories of the day. There's a few good ones I want to dive into, and I think I'm in a ranting mood. All right, so let's start things off with very interesting story about Neptune Digital Assets. So a couple of things came out today. Number one, they said they invested in SpaceX. Interesting. And they also provided a corporate update. But let's talk about the SpaceX part first. They said they invested approximately $2 million USD in SpaceX. Why? Why would a Bitcoin miner invest in SpaceX? What's the purpose of this? It's so far outside what they're trying to do. And it's not like they're truly a Bitcoin miner. They do some mining and then they're into staking and DeFi. But still, there's a small portion in Bitcoin mining that they do. So I'm going to just classify them as that for now. But still, why would they get involved in SpaceX? They think that this is going to grow to a point that they'll be able to parlay and sell it off at a higher price later on. Is this a good use of their capital right now? It's so far off base of what they truly are. It does not make sense. Potentially, maybe they want to use some of their crap coins that they have on their platform and use it on Mars. I don't know. Lots of different options here. I do not know, but getting into SpaceX, $2 million is a lot. I mean, it's not like it's Google or Alphabet that got into SpaceX quite a while ago when probably the valuation was much lower, so they're able to get a bigger slice of the pie for much less. Now it's more mature, and yeah, $2 million US into this, it just doesn't make sense to me. But that's not the only thing. The last thing I want to point out is $2 million. Think about their market cap. It's showing here $27.48 million. So it's not really that large of a market cap. And they're using a significant portion of the market cap to pump into SpaceX. Does not make sense. Anyways, the second thing I want to point out is, well, they put some of their things, their assets on Celsius, $880,000. Let's call it $1 million Canadian. So this $1 million, which is now sitting on Celsius, they're unable to withdraw it because Celsius is going belly up. And unfortunately, Celsius, well, they locked out all their users to withdraw or trade or do anything. So there you go. This, again, you play stupid games, you're going to be winning stupid prizes. Neptune is an example of that right here. So granted, they may have been exceeding in terms of value in comparison to other Bitcoin miners, but going forward, it could be some really choppy times for Neptune because they have exposure into stuff like Celsius and who knows what else. Maybe Voyager Digital, we'll be talking about not too distant future, maybe next story. But anyways, Neptune also mentions here they do not, they're not affected by any other recent defaults or potential bankruptcies that Neptune is aware of at this time, which leads me to believe that there potentially is exposure to other platforms or exchanges that may go belly up and they may be reporting that, whoops, they lost some more money because they don't have access to it. Let's see what happens. It is what it is. So in terms of what, and maybe I'm harping too hard on Neptune, but this is their game. This is what they do. Let's look at their recent investor proposal, the corporate presentation for Q2 2022. We'll call this 2/3 of their total revenue comes from DeFi. That's a significant amount. And we'll say, looking at this chart here, slightly less than a quarter comes from staking and the remainder comes from mining. So the majority of their revenue comes from staking and DeFi. That's part of the industry that is just taking a kick to the teeth right now. What do you think is going to happen in Neptune Digital Assets moving forward? Do you think they're going to be able, the one company that could weather this storm? I don't know. I have some real concerns. Look at what happens when you're a DeFi-er. Look at that picture over there. It makes you wonder that, is this something that investing in them is a good thing? I would have serious reservations about investing with Neptune Digital Assets. Staking and DeFi, getting rugged left and right. Celsius, rugged. Voyager Digital today, rugged. Let's see what happens going forward with Neptune Digital. But not just that. I mean, you could take a look what they did recently. The report shows that they mined 194 Bitcoin. And so their Bitcoin is going up over time. But this is the wagon they're hitching their wealth, their fortunes to. They got 152,000 Atom. What the hell's an Atom? It's not the building blocks of that makes up anything in the world or in the universe. This is Atom, the crap coin. And this, they used to have 150,000. Now they have 152, almost 153,000. So they're gaining more either through their DeFi or staking, or they're buying more. But also they have positions in, I'll name them, FTM. The heck is that? T-Share. No idea. Dot. Is that Polkadot? Dash. Garbage. Tomb. Never heard of it. ETH. You know my thoughts. Bitcoin Cash, loser. Litecoin, bigger loser. This is what they're hitching their wagons to. If I was a Neptune Digital Assets investor, I would be very concerned moving forward. This shows to me that they are so neck deep in the DeFi and the staking game. And this is the parts, these are the segments of the, we'll call it the crypto economy. And I'm using the quotes here, the air quotes, that is really taking a pounding, really taking a kick to the teeth. And some of this will just go belly up and never recover. Watch out. Neptune Digital Assets, I have real concerns about them moving forward. Up until now, it may have been smoke and mirrors, but moving forward, it's going to be hard to fight off the fact that, well, that million plus in Celsius, gone. And who knows whatever else, because Voyager Digital, we'll be talking about them next, they're in trouble. So, yeah, that's my thoughts on Neptune Digital. Stay away, stay far away. And, yeah, anything else but Neptune, that's just my thoughts. And moving on, we'll talk about another somewhat related company, Voyager Digital, which does the DeFi and staking stuff. Let's see what's going on there. And keep in mind the picture above me as I read out what's going on here. What is going on with Voyager Digital? Well, Chapter 11 bankruptcy, wrecked. See you later, garbage, junk. So they're going through the process and they are hoping that they're going to be able to resume account access and return value to customers. Good freaking luck. They say they have approximately 1.3 billion of crypto assets on their platform. Is that the total amount that was given to them by the customers, or did they give them a greater amount and did Voyager lose it and now it's a lesser amount of 1.3 billion? We'll see what happens moving forward. What is laughable here is they're saying Voyager's platform was built to empower investors by providing access to crypto asset trading with, get this, you're going to laugh hard, simplicity, speed, liquidity, and transparency. They achieved absolutely none of them. What they did achieve is sheer obliteration, wreckage. It's a tire fire that's still burning. Stay far away from it. I feel bad for anybody that has invested in it. I feel anybody that put their money on their platform because they just got wrecked. Staking and DeFi is getting the crap kicked out of them right now. Celsius is going through it right now. Voyager is going through it right now. There's going to be a lot more of this coming forward. That's why I was talking about Neptune Digital, that they're going to have some real problems moving forward. It's stuff like this. Voyager is a real problem. Remember, just yesterday I talked about in the video that Voyager had one of three options, and one of them was bankruptcy. Less than a day later, they declared it. Incredible stuff. Who would have predicted it? Me. So anyways, be careful. What I would do if I were you, if you're thinking about investing in a company like Voyager or a similar company that does similar things, that they have staking and DeFi and all that garbage, Stay far away from it. This is what you get in the end. You are holding the bag. They declare bankruptcy and you have no idea what's going to happen with your investment. Similarly, the people that put their money on their platform wreck. They have no idea if they're going to get all the money back that they put on. Terrible stuff. So, as I said, anything that has anything to do with staking, DeFi, all that stuff, publicly traded, stay far away. Also, if you're thinking about putting your money on that, these exchanges to earn a yield from through DeFi or staking, again, stay far away from this. This is why I would suggest you run away far away as possible from companies like Voyager, just like I run far away from companies like Neptune Digital Assets. It only makes sense. Park your money in the right places. You know, in companies that are going to be moving on up in the future, not in companies that are going to get wrecked moving forward. These are terrible companies, poorly managed, and they provide just terrible investment opportunities for investors, people that want to actually make some money in the markets. You know what you get? Nothing. You invest, you get nothing. Keep investing in Neptune Digital if you want to earn nothing. Keep putting your money on Neptune Digital Assets platforms if you want to earn nothing. But me, I'll just invest in Bitcoin miners. I know what I want to do. I know what I'm going to continually do. And I know what's going to be happening moving forward. Bitcoin is the future. Crap like this, DeFi, staking, absolute trash. All right, let's try to get things a little bit more positive here. Not totally positive, but slightly more positive, because we'll be talking about Hut 8. And they provided their June 2022 update, and they said they mined 328 Bitcoin. And their reserves now sit at 7,406 Bitcoin, which makes them one of the biggest Bitcoin miners, in terms of Bitcoin on their reserves. It's one of the largest amounts that is out there, because Marathon and Core Scientific, they had more, but they have, I mean, Core certainly sold off their Bitcoin, and Marathon, it seems to be slowly selling off their Bitcoin. So Hut 8, their HODL strategy seems to be, I'm not saying it's going to work for them, but if they could weather this and the price of Bitcoin moves up and then they're able to either sell it or borrow against it at a much higher price, it gives them much more leverage and flexibility moving forward. So let's see if they're able to weather this storm here. And they also, in this report, they mentioned that their location in North Bay is moving ahead. So they've gone ahead and they installed 5,800 miners that are now operating at 20 megawatts as of June 30th. So all in all, it's not too bad. Their operating capacity right now is 2.78 exahash per second. So again, it's, in terms of that rate, it's falling behind Bitfarms, but they're holding all their Bitcoins. So that's, I think that's a positive if they could somehow weather this storm. And the North Bay location, I just want to say that, yeah, if anybody from Hut 8 wants to invite us to go for a tour, I'll be happy to go there, and maybe we get Joey to go as well and get a tour of their North Bay facility. So people in Hut 8, yeah, if you're watching or listening, we're interested. North Bay, it's not too far. Let's take a peek at it. But also remember that they are now getting into Web3 and stuff like that. That is, come on, guys. This is not for Bitcoin miners. That's for the companies that want to get wrecked. Stick to the plan. Do the Bitcoin mining only, because this is the stuff that we need. It's going to secure a network. You're going to be mining an asset that is going to have so much value moving forward. The potential is enormous. Don't get into Web3. Web3 is garbage. So that's why I said initially, let's try to get more positive here, slightly more positive, because with Hut 8, although they are a Bitcoin miner mostly, they're not totally a Bitcoin miner. So they're in stuff that I'm not too happy about. Hope they just ditch that Web3 garbage. But then again, I'm not sitting on a board, nor do I have any say in what's happening with Hut 8. So best of luck with your endeavors with Web3, because I have zero aspirations in this thing going to the moon. And hopefully you guys don't lose a little bit of money as a result of investing in that particular sphere. Continue with the Bitcoin mining. We know where that's going. It only makes sense to deploy more capital there, especially at a time where everything is depressed. If you have money that's available for you, your capital is available, and you could pick up some ASIC miners and you could plug it into your network. You have electricity capabilities. You know what? It's a good time to be sitting on cash, and hopefully Hut 8 is one of those companies that could capitalize on it. Boo, Web3. Boo. Okay, so let's move on and talk about DMG blockchain. And yeah, this is an interesting story. So they have been approved issued a patent in the United States, and this gives them an ability for detecting and tracking tainted cryptographic wallets in order to screen out nefarious actors. So I'm wondering if this is similar to the Clue product offered by Big, where it's going to be able to give them an ability to analyze the blockchain. And they're saying that this is going to give law enforcement more tools to combat money laundering, terrorism, and fraud. Again, I mean, how beneficial is this to the community? Probably not so. It's probably very good for DMG as a company because it gives them more opportunity to gain revenue. I would imagine something like this would be very much sought after by governments and three-letter agencies in order to help scan and ensure that they're keeping track of certain individuals or come up with new individuals that should be tracked. So in that regard, it potentially could be very lucrative, and it could yield a lot of revenue should this be something that is actually usable to track what they're trying to track. But in terms of going against the Bitcoin ethos, it seems to be rather counterintuitive to what Bitcoiners are trying to achieve. So that's the two sides of the argument. You have the investor side, I like this, but as the Bitcoiner side, I'm kind of not too happy about this. But nonetheless, it is something they have that they could probably squeeze some lemon juice and make some lemon out of it as well. And they also talk about their June mining results. They say in June they mined about 76 Bitcoin, and their hash rate now sits at about 680 petahash per second, and they have aspirations to get to 1 exahash per second by the end of the year. But this is subject to the receipt, installation, and operation of additional miners. So that's their asterisk to all this, and is basically saying that we're not obligated to get there, but we're going to try our darn best to get there. So getting to 1 exahash would be pretty good for them. It's would bring them to a point where, you know, mid-tier miner, I would say, you know, that's not too bad. I guess that's a realistic goal for DMG, considering where they are right now and where they plan to go moving forward. All in all, I think it's good. I mean, as an investor, I like what they're doing. As a Bitcoiner, that patent they released, I guess it is what it is. So, but since we're talking about the investing side, I think that this represents some good opportunities for them moving forward. I don't think it's going to yield a lot of results immediately, but should this thing be something that is proven to be good for governments and three-letter agencies, why wouldn't they open up the vault and give a lot of money to DMG to get access to this? So keep this in mind if you're an investor or you are wanting to invest. This is something you may want to keep your eyes on, because this could yield a decent amount of revenue moving forward in conjunction with their Bitcoin mining operation. All right, let's talk about CleanSpark. And they gave us with their 2022 June update, it's pretty good. They say that they mined 339 Bitcoin for the month of June, and year to date they produced 1,863 Bitcoin. So it's pretty consistent in terms of their output. Their total holdings, this is the interesting part here, they have 561 Bitcoin on their reserves as of the end of June. So they have sold off, they say here they sold off 328 of their Bitcoin for operations and growth. This is their MO. They seem to always do this. They mine Bitcoin and sell Bitcoin to make things operate. And currently they're hashing out at 2.8 exahash per second. And furthermore, they also, let's say the sale of the Bitcoin was 320, was the average price of 25,644. So pretty good price considering the price of Bitcoin what it is today. And they also saying that they're going to be moving to a pure Bitcoin miner because they are exiting the Switchgear business. So there you go. This is a company that is going to be solely in the Bitcoin mining game. I like it. They are a pretty good play. I have nothing against CleanSpark. I hope that they're able to continue to grow their network. And the fact that they're just 100% Bitcoin mining, I like that. That's the kind of stuff I want to see, because I don't want to see them getting into NFTs. I don't want to see them getting into Web3. I don't want to see them getting into DeFi or staking. just mine Bitcoin, secure the network, make as much Bitcoin as you can through the mining business. And in this case, if you need to sell it to for operational expenses, fine. That's your MO. No problems with that. And maybe moving forward, as the price of Bitcoin rips, it's going to be very lucrative to sell their Bitcoin. So there you go, CleanSpark. Good update. I like it and look forward to hearing their update next month. It'll probably be kind of the same old, just mining a bunch of Bitcoin and no real red flags to look at here. So CleanSpark, good stuff. Another good month from them. All right. Last story I have is about Riot, and they also announced their June 2022 update. And this is a company that just continues to grow. They mined 421 Bitcoin for the month of June 2022. Not too bad. They hold 6,654 Bitcoin, but they did sell 300 Bitcoin, and that was for $6.2 million. And this gives them extra money to continue to expand their network, because they are planning to expand it quite a bit. Right now, they're hashing out at 4.4 exahash per second. This is the company that is also doing the immersion cooling in the state of Texas, which is a great place to do it considering how hot and humid it gets over there. So it stresses the mining equipment to the extreme. So by using immersion cooling, it enables the miners to run much cooler. Plus, they could overclock them and really hash out at a higher rate than was originally intended. So that's pretty good stuff. But also, they do intend to really ramp up their exahash per second, and they're going to get to 12.5 exahash by January 2023. So there's going to be consistent gains from Riot, and I've been talking about them for a little while now. Month over month, you're going to see this constant gain in terms of their network output. So right now, they're in the 4s exahash per second, and they're going to 3x that. That is going to require a lot of money. That's going to require a lot of manpower. That's going to require a lot of capital. They have it, and they're going to be using the facilities out in the great state of Texas to do so. The one thing I hope that is that they don't get, if they're not throttled, or not throttled, but they're not having their energy curtailed, should there be demands elsewhere? Because this is known in the state of Texas where they, if the demands are needed elsewhere, that Bitcoin miners divert the energy to the grid and not to Bitcoin mining. So that this could potentially impact Riot moving forward, but still they'll have the capacity to have a lot of Bitcoin mine moving forward, especially come January next year. So this is a company you want to keep your eyes on, is as they continually grow, they're going to be one of the bigger Bitcoin miners out there. They've since surpassed Marathon, I think, as the number two company. Core Scientific is still number one in terms of overall hash rate. But yeah, Riot is, they're keeping pace. They're not going to get to the point where they're going to surpass or even meet Core Scientific, but at least they're doing what they can to 3x their network hash rate. So that's awesome. That's what you want to see. That's securing a network. That's making more Bitcoin for themselves. And I hope the price of Bitcoin moves up just for those guys, because if they're putting that much money, that much effort into expanding their network, I want to see it be a fruitful adventure, and I don't want to see them lose any money in the process. So good for Riot. I like this update, and there's going to be a lot more good updates moving forward for the next 6 months. And that's it. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Boo NDA, boo Voyager Digital. None of the information I've talked about here is financial advice, so make sure you do your own research, your own due diligence before you invest any money into anything, because what I talk about, of course, you'll just get wrecked. So make sure you properly do your investigating and research. It only makes sense. And because I'm not a financial advisor, and Joey's not a financial advisor, nobody in this channel is a financial advisor. So take everything we say with a grain of salt. And with that, I hope you have a wonderful day. Enjoy this beautiful July 6th day, and we'll talk again probably tomorrow. So take care. Hello, Bitcoiners, and welcome to another episode where we do a wrap up on Bitcoin miners and Bitcoin related equities. Today is July the 7th. It's going to be a good episode, so I hope you stick around for this. I'm going to be diving deep into a couple of companies, one of which we don't talk about all that much. But yeah, before we go any further, just want to ask if you could please like, subscribe, and share. That would help us out with growing this show. So with your help, we could grow and we'll be very thankful for your support. And with that being said, let's just move on to the sponsors portion. All right, so our first sponsor is ShakePay, the best place to buy and, of course, never sell your Bitcoin. And open up account with our referral code below. Fund your account with $100, buy $100 worth of Bitcoin or the competing token, and you'll be rewarded with $30 that will just be simply added to your ShakePay account. Furthermore, by opening up an account with our referral code, you have the ability then to open the ShakePay app and shake that app once a day, and you'll be rewarded with Satoshis, partial Bitcoin. So it makes sense to, at the beginning of the day, open up your phone, open up the app, shake it, only the phone, not anything else, and you're good to go. You're going to be getting a whole bunch of Satoshis awarded to you. Do it for 365 consecutive days, and you'll be rewarded with 1,000 Satoshis every day. So it makes sense to do this consecutively. Also, you have the ShakePay Visa card. Load up your ShakePay app with Canadian dollars. Use it to buy groceries, gas, whatever, and you'll be rewarded with Bitcoin as a result. First $5,000, 2% of your purchase will be given to you in Bitcoin, and beyond that, 1% of your purchase will be returned to you in Bitcoin. And also, you have the ShakePay promotion. So if you use it, the ShakePay Visa card, to buy something, the whole purchase could be theoretically returned back to you in Bitcoin. A lot of people have been ShakePayed. Some people have been ShakePayed even multiple times in a given day. So it makes sense to use your ShakePay Visa card. And lastly, they have the Shake Squads. Team up with up to four people, and any person within your squad that uses the ShakePay Visa card, everybody's going to be rewarded with 42 Satoshis. So it makes sense to get involved with some active people that use their ShakePay Visa card on a daily, and you'll be rewarded with 42 sats for every purchase that everybody makes in the squad. So we like using ShakePay. It's a great place to buy. And I mentioned, never sell your Bitcoin. And what are you going to do with the Bitcoin that you bought from ShakePay? Why not put it on the Ledin platform, earn some interest? Open up an account using our referral code below. Fund your account with 150,000 Satoshis or 75 USDC. Keep it on there for 15 consecutive days and you'll be rewarded with 10 USDC. Also, if you have a large Bitcoin stash, you don't want to sell it and you have some bills or expenses you need to pay, you could borrow against it. Ledin's there to help you out. 50% loan to value and you're good to go. You can then use the money to do whatever you need and you don't have to sell your Bitcoin. Also, if you think the price of Bitcoin is going up, which it slowly is, you could double up your Bitcoin stack by using the Ledin's B2X option. And once the price gets to a point where you're happy, pull out. Always pull out. You're good to go. And now you have some more Bitcoin just by simply using the Ledin B2X option. And the last thing they have is the Bitcoin-backed mortgages. Check their website out because it's not available in every jurisdiction. Also, look at their website to see what are the lending and borrowing rates because they change on a month-to-month basis. All right, with the formalities out of the way, let's get hashing. And today was a great day. The price of Bitcoin, as you can see right here, went up. And it was reflective on the Bitcoin miners and their related equities. You could just see like it's green everywhere. So many double digit gains today. I'm not going to go through them all, but let's talk at least a 20% and higher. So Sphere 3D, 29.46% up. Marathon turning it around, 24% up on a day. And CoinSmart a little bit over 20%. But so many others, double digits, just great day all around. Hopefully you all took advantage of this, but not everybody had a great day. There was a few of them that were flat, but primarily there's two of them I want to look at. Here, Aquarius AI down 20% after the massive gain they had yesterday, and WonderFi down 5.41%. So Aquarius AI, like I mentioned before, thinly traded stock, is it going to get another big day tomorrow considering that it had a bad day today? It seems to be on one end or the other. It's almost like a Moss and infrastructure type deal. So if you're able to ride that wave the right way, you can make some massive gains. But again, because it's very low volume, you might be a bag holder because you may not be able to sell your shares at the price you want. So that just be careful with these much smaller companies that aren't traded all that much. The gains might appear to be just easy for you to take, but it's difficult when you're dealing with something very small. So be careful when you're dealing with small companies like
like that, Aquarius AI. But anyways, great day all around in the market. So yeah, let's just dive into the news. All right, so leading things off, let's talk about Ocean Falls blockchain. I know they're not publicly traded just yet, but they intend to do so in the not too distant future. So they just came out with an announcement today that they're going to be now offering fractional ownership of crypto mining rigs. So this is something I'm assuming is very similar to what Compass Mining is currently doing. So we'll just dive deep into this one. And they say they've set aside 50 S19 Pro mining rigs. And so essentially you could rent out the hashing power in quantities of 1/10 the cost of an individual mining rig. And this is going to give opportunity for people who want to get exposure or get involved with Bitcoin mining without setting up your own rig at home. You can simply use this offering from Ocean Falls blockchain to scratch your itch. So in terms of, would I recommend this for anybody? Not really, considering what happened with Compass Mining. Remember, it's not your keys, not your coin. Well, not your ASICs in your garage, not your machines. And so this is another another situation where you're just giving them money and they're going to be managing it, which may be good in a lot of respects, but I really wouldn't recommend it because you don't own the equipment and anything could go wrong. And you saw how Compass users got rug pulled several times in the past little while. So this is something which, in terms of me using it or recommending it, no. But one thing it does do, it creates a new revenue stream for Ocean Falls blockchain, which is really good. So that's something, as an investor or potential investor wants to do publicly list, that's something that I would look at this, and it's something that I may look at favorably. So as an investor, yeah, I'm good with this. New revenue streams, great. Let's pump up the stock once it gets publicly listed. But as a user, I'd pass on that. So that's just my two cents. So there is the good for the investor side. There, I think the bad, I wouldn't recommend it on the user side of things. So yeah, that's it for Ocean Falls. All right, keep things moving along. I got a very interesting story surrounding Stronghold Digital. And this is coming from S. Matthew Schultz. He's the co-founder of CleanSpark. And this information he's providing on Twitter indicates that there's been a downward price action with ASIC miners. The price of Bitcoin has gone down and the desirability to get one of these ASIC miners has gone down as well. And he notes here, or at least the parts that he's quoting here from somebody else, is that the Antminer S19J Pros, they dropped in price from $12,000 in January to just $5,600 as of right now, or at the time this was being written up. And the price of Bitcoin obviously has gone down from November of last year. In fact, it's mentioned here at Stronghold, they signed a non-fixed price pre-order with Bitmain in November. And that's a time when Bitcoin was around $69,000, as you just mentioned. So the desirability to mine Bitcoin was huge, and they were, the price of the ASICs was also very high. And they purchased, or at least they signed an agreement to buy 1,800, that's a lot, Antminer X19 XP models. And they were hoping they will arrive July to December of 2022. And the price tag, $19.3 million. And they placed a down payment of $6.8 million in November. Well, because there's been a sharp drawdown in the price of Bitcoin and all these miners are really having difficulty with keeping pace and keeping the lights on, they decided to sell the pre-order contract to a company called Cryptech Solutions for a total value of only $12.6 million. So they purchased this for $19.3, put a down payment for $6.8 million, and sold it for $12.6. So that's quite a loss here. It's too bad they weren't able to capitalize on this order and take possession of the X19's XP models that they ordered. But this is not looking good in terms of the Stronghold Digital front. Between that and the adjustment of their hash rate, this might be, remember a few months ago they adjusted their hash rate, their outlook, initially it was much higher and then they adjusted it to be a lower amount. I think this is probably in conjunction to that, so they didn't execute this order, or at least they're not going to take delivery of them. So yeah, there's a lot of questions surrounding what's going on with Stronghold Digital moving forward, it's looking like that their company is going to probably take a little further step back in terms of valuation moving forward. So again, something may not be too concerning for some people, but in my eyes, I would be a little wary about them. So be careful with investing in Stronghold. There's lots of smoke every few months with them. So just my two cents, it's there's always something going on there. And I would be hesitant about putting any money on their platform right now, investing any money with them right now. Just my two cents. Take that for what it's worth. It's, again, not financial advice, so it is what it is. Okay, so let's talk about Hive. In fact, we have their CEO, Frank Holmes, coming on our show in a not-too-distant future. So if you have any questions you want us to ask Frank, let us know. Leave a comment below. Write an email, send us a tweet. We'll be happy to ask Frank and try to get an answer for you. But they, in this particular case here, I want to talk about their June 2022 production update. And as of July 6th, they have on their balance sheet 3,239 Bitcoin and 7,667 ETH. For the month of June, they mined strictly for Bitcoin. 278.5 Bitcoin was produced for the month of June. Their hash rate for the month of June is a little convoluted, but bear with me. Started off at 2.17 exahash per second, peaked at 2.24 exahash per second, so it went up around 700 petahash per second, but went down by the end of the month to 2.0 exahash per second because some miners were temporarily taken offline and they're swapping them out for higher efficiency miners, so not too bad there. They mined for the month of June 2,542 ETH. Can't really talk much about that or the hash rate that they have for mining ETH, but it is what it is. If you want to do the total, because this is a company that they mine both ETH and Ethereum, they'd like to show what the equivalent is in Bitcoin. So if you convert everything to Bitcoin, all the ETH, they mine for the month of June, 420.8 Bitcoin equivalent was produced. This is on average of 14 Bitcoin per day. And if you extrapolate that into a hash rate, that's 3.2 exahash per second. They note that they are starting to sell. They have strategically been selling some of their ETH holdings, and this is to what they say fund the expansion of their BTC footprint. Really cool stuff. But since times are bad, they're also going ahead. They're starting to sell some of the production BTC and ETH that they have, and they're going to be trying to maintain the Bitcoin on their inventory level. So the thing that they want to do is ensure that they don't draw down their Bitcoin. They want to keep that where it is or maybe even add to it. They don't seem to have that same type of mentality with the ETH. Very cool stuff. And lastly, they were saying that they do have a little bit of debt, and it's not too bad. They're saying positive cash flow right now and without any significant debt. And they have said, aside from long-term real estate mortgage from Canadian Bank with less than 4% interest. Very cool. No equipment financing on all their ASIC and GPU. This is cool stuff to have during a bear market, because having any debt it's getting harder and harder to maintain debt as interest rates go up. Well, Hive doesn't have that problem. Aside from that mortgage that they have on that real estate, 4%, it seems to be rather manageable. We may have to talk to a mortgage broker to try to get them a better deal, but that's a story for another time. So yeah, all in all, pretty good update from Frank Holmes company, or the CEO. He's the CEO of that company. Now he doesn't own it, but he's CEO. But the Frank Holmes led company. If you have any questions for Frank concerning Hive, let us know. Again, just send us an email, send us a comment, whatever. We'll be happy to ask him those questions, because that's going to be coming up in a not too distant future. So cool stuff from Hive. All right, and the last story I have is about Iris Energy, and they have provided their monthly investor update for June 2022, and it's pretty good because they were mentioning here that their hash rate, which was expected to be 3.7 exahash per second by the end of Q4 2022, well, it's been revised to 4.3 exahash per second, so that's an increase of around 600 petahash per second, not too bad. As for the month of June, they mined 148 Bitcoin for the month, and this is a little bit less than the previous month where they mined 151. So, unfortunately, they were kind of flat in terms of how much Bitcoin that they mined. They've mentioned that the amount of the energy cost is $8,875 US dollars for the month of June, which went down from the previous month from 9,352. So they're getting more efficient in terms of mining Bitcoin from month to month. But really the good thing is they're increasing hash rate over the duration of this year. So the 148 Bitcoin that they mined for this month, or the 151 Bitcoin that they mined for the previous month, that's going to be drastically increasing. It's going to be 3xing. That's 3xing ish, because given how much new hash rate they're going to have by the end of the year, should there not be a substantial change in the overall hash rate. So very cool stuff from Iris Energy. Still, they're still building out their infrastructure and everything. Hopefully that they don't have any hiccups along the way, because obviously things are getting more dicey out there in terms of getting material and getting people to work to build up their operations over there. But they do have intentions to get to 4.3 exahash per second. So much, much better from the 3.7 exahash that they were predicting by the end of Q4 2022. So really, it's a small update. Not much else to say, but really good stuff. Also, we interviewed their CEO, Dan Roberts, a little while back. I'll put the link somewhere on this video. Hopefully you can check it out if you're interested in a little bit more about Iris Energy. So cool stuff over there. And I hope you enjoyed this video. It's rather short, it's pretty brief, this one here. But just, I want to make sure that you are aware that I'm not a financial advisor. Joey's not a financial advisor. None of the guests who have been on the show are financial advisors. So make sure you do your own research, your own due diligence, because it only makes sense, or else you get wrecked. So with that, we may be chatting tomorrow. If not, have a wonderful weekend. Take care.